On the afternoon of May 8th, just 24 hours since the beginning of the conclave, the College of Cardinals elected our new Pope, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, who took the name Leo XIV. A native of Chicago and a member of the Order of St. Augustine, Pope Leo brings a missionary heart and a deep pastoral presence, having served many years in Peru and later as prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops. Before his time in Rome, Pope Leo spent decades in Latin America, working closely with marginalized communities and forming deep bonds of trust and service. His experience as prior general of the Augustinians and later as bishop in Peru gave him a global and pastoral perspective, rooted in listening accompaniment and a desire for a more inclusive church. Pope Leo has adopted as his motto a phrase that reflects his Augustinian roots, in illo uno unum, in the one we are one. Unity and communion clearly lie at the heart of his mission. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit grant him the wisdom and strength as he shepherds his flock, and that we too be enlightened by the same Spirit to be a church founded on God's love, seeking unity and peace. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello and welcome to an all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Billy Chan.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to see you.
You're always Deacon happy to be together. And are you happy because we have a new pope? How are you feeling about the new pope?
Yes, we have a new pope. I'm feeling neutral. Can I do that? Neutral?
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm happy to have a new pope. I'm happy to have American pope. The first thing that my impression is, oh, finally, we can hear some English during homily. That is true. What I like. And my wife actually said, oh, finally, we didn't get somebody fat. I said, no, why?
No, but you know what?
It's not
Pope
about,
Francis
you know,
wasn't Pope yeah, Francis what? Wasn't fat 12 years ago either. So let's hope that he continues, not eating all that good pasta and pizza. And
but I think fat for the Pope is also because of the stress. So you know, when we stress, we'll eat a lot.
Yeah.
So when I see people fat, I will say, you know, just take care of yourself. You know, relax a bit. Do something good for yourself. And
okay.
I think
did
the
you
stress
read the article?
Did
you read the article that he goes to the gym?
I did not.
So I was in Rome and we were having lunch with some of the Canadian priests that are studying in Rome. And one of the priests said, Prevost goes to my gym. So this is gym very close to the Vatican. And a lot of the priests go to this gym and Cardinal Prevost would go to the gym. So after he was elected, they tracked down his personal trainer, and the personal trainer 100% said he would come to the gym. He would, you know, maybe two times a week, sometimes three times a week, very gentle, very polite, didn't talk a lot. The trainer didn't even know he was a priest or a bishop. He thought he was a professor. Until he came out on the balcony, and then he's like, hey, that's Robert. that's Robert. Robert's the Pope. I didn't even know he was
that's
a cardinal.
That's the Pope.
So apparently he's very fit and for his age.
Nice.
And so let's see if he continues working out. Maybe he won't gain 100 pounds eating all that pasta because of stress. We'll see. I'm kind of like you. I'm a little kind of neutral. I mean, he's good. I think all popes are going to be good. They're all going to be Catholic. They're all going to be, doctrinally sound. So let's just see. I like the fact that he's a missionary. And
Can I say something more? I actually believe that, like, all, you know, I try to put myself into the shoes of cardinal, you know, and when you think about that, everyone here, think about that, you know, close your eyes, think about that. When you are in front of the voting box, when you are holding a vote, and that is represent all the Catholics that is going to choose somebody like Jesus. Think about that. You know, your responsibility is huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how can you be like, you know, oh, am I going to choose somebody I like? No, you're going to choose somebody God's like. You're going to choose somebody that is good for all the Catholics.
Yeah.
Your responsibility is huge. So I would say, I try to think of myself and wow, it's stressful.
it is. I don't know if you heard. So the Canadians, three of the Canadian cardinals did a press conference. Some of the American cardinals also did a press conference. Mm-hmm. And I just heard a little clip from the Australian cardinal who's Ukrainian. He also did a little press conference. So it's very interesting to hear them talk about the process as much as they can, because they can't tell you a lot. But they all say that it's a very prayerful experience, and they all talk about that pressure. Yeah. It's like you're standing there in front of the painting of the Last Judgment and making a promise that you're going to, you know, that you're actually voting prayerfully. So absolutely. Yeah. Looking forward to having 15, 20 more years of Pope Leo the 14th. Okay, Billy. Today, we are joined once again by Ed Clancy of Aid to the Church in Need. He's going to be here to give us an update about the ongoing Christian persecution in Nigeria. So that's Ed Clancy from Aid to the Church in Need. He's going to be here in about 5 minutes, just after our song. And then, Billy, you're going to be back with a question about?
Yes. Yes, it's about the mother. So I think it's so everyone knows.
Okay, a question about the mother. Presumably that's the Mother Mary, okay? So a question about Mother Mary in about 15 minutes with church, with Billy Chan, Church for Dummies. And then, okay, so speaking of Mary, Billy, did you know that there's only been one Marian apparition in the United States? Do you know where that is? There's an approved Marian apparition.
I do not know.
Okay, I think most people don't know.
So. I want to know.
Okay,
well, I want you're to know now, and I want to go because it's so close to me, right?
Well, okay, well, it's Wisconsin. So there's a National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. And today we're going to be speaking with the rector of the shrine, Father Anthony Stevens. He's going to tell us about the shrine, and because it's a Jubilee year and you don't have to go to Rome if you want to make a Jubilee pilgrimage, because a lot of the dioceses have established some Jubilee churches in their own diocese, and the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion is one of them. So how to make a Jubilee pilgrimage with Father Anthony Stevens in about 25 minutes. So you can learn all about this national shrine that's built on the site where Mary appeared to a young woman, I don't know, 200 years ago.
You know what? I just cannot wait. I'm just trying to Google everything now.
Okay, yeah, Google that. So Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. Okay, Wisconsin. It's not that near, but it's near. Nearer than Rome. Okay, so that's in about 25 minutes. And then we're going to be reconnecting with, you might remember a married couple, Nick and Nikki Garza. They are from Phoenix, and they're singer-songwriters. They play at Mass, and they write this amazing music. They have 5 kids, and so the kids are getting older. And you know what it's like when you have children and family and kids growing. So, but they've managed to write some music and have some new recordings. So it's a good excuse to reconnect with them and play some of their songs. So that's Nick and Nikki Garza. We're going to be speaking with them in about 35, 40 minutes or so. And as always, a reminder for all our listeners, if you're not able to listen to the whole program, go to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. That's where you can listen to the whole show. You can also subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour anywhere you get your podcast. And also you can listen to the program on the SL Plus app that you can get for free at your app store, the Salt and Light Plus app. So, Billy, let's start with the song. I know this is your favorite part of the show, is when we play music, yes, right?
Exactly. Okay. Love Catholic music.
Good. Well, here's Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, Take Up Your Cross.
Receive the word of God.
We're listening to Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, Take Up Your Cross. And we're going to be speaking with Nick and Nikki Garza at the end of the program, so I hope that you can stick around for that. And now it's time for Where God Helps with Ed Clancy from Aid to the Church in Need, USA. Ed, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you, Deacon. It's always good to be with you.
So, of course, I have to start off by asking you your thoughts on our new Holy Father. I know Aid to the Church in Need is a pontifical agency. So what do you think?
Well, it's wonderful that it's a new birth, a new beginning for the church. Every time there's a new pope, there's a new opportunity for the world to understand the church. And, you know, in the area that Aid to the Church in Need works to help the persecuted Christians around the world, it's an opportunity for us as a papal agency to put that message out, and we pray that the Pope will have a long, holy pontificate, and also that he will listen to and speak out for the persecuted Christians around the world. It's a difficult job being Pope, and we pray we'll be praying for him continuously. Yeah. And, you know, He's an American, which obviously means something to me because I'm an American, North American, I guess. This is Canada as well. From this side of the world, all things that seem new and different. So it's going to be an interesting time for the church and an opportunity for Aid to the Church in Need, hopefully with the help of the new Holy Father, to help the situation of persecuted Christians around the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he already has been very outspoken about Gaza and Ukraine and his first words about peace, and not just world peace, peace in war-torn regions, but peace in everybody's hearts. So I think that you don't have to worry about that. But I know that you're worried a little bit about the situation in Nigeria, which is what you wanted to share with us today.
Unfortunately, Deacon, Nigeria is both always on the top of the list and, as they say in the newspaper business, below the fold, that it doesn't get much press. And yet it is a place in the world where the persecution is unbelievable. It's horrific. Just in the last few weeks, I mean, there was the Palm Sunday killings back on, I think, the 15th of April.
Yeah.
And then just this last week, the end of May, there was three different attacks coordinated in the area of Benue, which is the most Christian, most Catholic portion of Nigeria. It is over 80% Catholic, 95% Christian. There are 6 million plus Christians in that state. Mm-hmm. And it has been in the center of Christian persecution for many, many months. And it doesn't get any press. It doesn't get any notice. Even today, if you look up the fact that 42 Christians were killed within the last week or so, you can barely find it anywhere. And it's terrible.
So that was the most recent news, 42 Christians?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And there's still scores missing. So the other issues always with these, you know, these communities that are in the sort of the fringes of, suburban areas and farm regions. We don't always know the numbers for many weeks because people disappear. They go to other places, or unfortunately they just die somewhere in the middle of the bush and their bodies are found, you know, many weeks later.
And I know you've said before that this is very clearly targeted at Christians, that it's not just random violence that affects Christians who happen to be there because that's where they live.
So the situation now, the focus had before this been with groups like Boko Haram and ISWAP, which are clearly Muslim radical groups. Now it is the Fulani, who are 99% Muslim and who are instituting what might be called sort of tribal ethnic cleansing, where they're going into different areas, but they're focusing on areas that are Christian.
Yeah.
So you can argue that this is a tribal issue, that this is a land issue, but if it was that, then why is it that the disparity, the great number of attacks and regions that are being attacked are Christian? They're right. going after places where they have the most Christian population. And in the past, they've actually bypassed Christian Muslim communities or small Muslim enclaves to attack Christian enclaves or Christian communities. Right. So it's clear, while no statement is there that says that we're here to kill Christians, right. just by their consistent action. And in fact, this last attack, there were three separate attacks, almost coordinated in time, so that the response from the local governments is very difficult. The other issue in Nigeria is because the state police have very little power and the federal police have all the power. By the time they respond, 3, 6, 8, 12 hours later, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And they're just coming in to take the numbers and deal with the bodies.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, obviously, there's very little reaction or knowledge from outside of Nigeria. What is the reaction inside of Nigeria from the government or even the church?
Well, interestingly, so earlier this year, a bishop from Benue came to speak in the United States, Bishop Anagbe, and he spoke about this violence. And he was clearly threatened by people inside Nigeria as to what he was to say and what he shouldn't say, and that they were watching him. And this came from within the government, not the highest level, but from within the government and from outside of the government. So we know that there, in Nigeria, there are people who are pushing back against this information, and they are doing their very best to make sure that this is not becoming news, that this is not the focus of anybody's attention. And again, we have a new administration in the Vatican and here in the United States, and we hope that there is a concerted effort to give voice to these people and to focus the political, diplomatic, and religious will to solve this issue and to protect these people who are being persecuted unjustly.
Now, is there anything that Aid to the Church in Need can do or has been doing in supporting the people that are affected?
Yes. I mean, we are working consistently with the diocese and the parishes who are mm-hmm. affected. We are helping them. And as much as we can help, this requires more. But we definitely are supporting them in food programs, in programs to help the children, displaced mm-hmm. families. And then we are also doing some work with those people who are traumatized. The church there is helping the traumatized mm-hmm. to recover their lives after the fact. And this is something that's very important, because after the violence is over, the repercussions last for a generation. And this is something that the church has to do. It is requirement to help reheal these people.
Absolutely. And the church is doing that, thanks to the support of so many other organizations, but like Aid to the Church in Need. So resources and prayers.
Yes, prayers.
For your work and for the people in Nigeria. Ed, thank you for always bringing these topics to mind for us, because as you say, they're not really anywhere on our radar here in North America.
No, unfortunately, no. But thank you for allowing this time.
Yes, thank you for sharing that with us. Ed Clancy, he's the Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need USA. You can find out more and support their cause at in the United States, churchinneed.org, and in Canada, acn-canada.org.
Hi, I'm Avery Collins. I'm a Catholic musician, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
You can watch all Salt and Light programs on our new app. You can download the Salt and Light Plus app from your favorite app store. And now it's time for
Church for Dummies
with Billy Chan, who has a question about the Mother of
God. Yeah, this time, this time the question will be very short, but okay. I think the answer will be really long. It is very important for our faith as well. It's about the Virgin Mary. So it's about why it's so important that Mary is a virgin. It's not only before Jesus born, is also after. Like after Mary keep as a virgin
until
the end. So first of all, why is so important for our
faith? Okay, so I think that that actually the first part of your question is a very simple answer. And of course, we can talk about the, you know, the temple, the body of, you know, the tabernacle, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, so there's that. But I think more than that, Mary needed to be a virgin at the time of conception so that it was very clear that whatever happened to her was a God event. So it's very clear that Joseph is not the father. Nobody on earth is the father. The angel Gabriel says the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive. Okay, she has had no relations with man. And that's very clear in the Gospel of Luke to make it very obvious that whatever happened to her happened because God overshadowed her. So I think that that's, I think, the most important part of the answer, the first part of your question.
Okay.
The second part of your question, which is a very good thing to consider, why did, because I think most people understand why she needed to be a virgin at the time of conception, but why did mm-hmm. she need to remain a virgin? And it's not that she needed to remain a virgin, is that Mary is a model for all of us because she's the example of what God wants for all of us. So, and this is theology of the body. Okay, God wants to marry everybody. That's what mm-hmm. we're being created for. So that when we all get to heaven, we're going to be, that's how, as close to God as God wants to be with us, marriage. But of course, the marriage that we understand here on earth is just like but a little glimmer of the marriage that we're going to have in heaven. So everybody's created for marriage, but not everybody's created for marriage on earth. That's why we have people on earth who take vows of celibacy, because they're skipping the symbol of marriage here on earth, and they're already trying to live that marriage that's going to be in heaven. So Mary is an example of that heavenly marriage. So just imagine this. If you're already married in that perfect union with God, you're not going to want to have a union with your husband on earth. No offense to Joseph, but I'm sure Joseph understood too. So I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful way to think of it. So if you think of it that way, in that context, virginity doesn't mean an absence of something, which is the way we use the word virginity to mean, like you haven't had relations, you haven't had sexual relations. Virginity is not an absence of something, but rather virginity is a perfect union with God. So Mary is ever virgin, not because she's missing something, that she never had sex. She is ever virgin because she is perfectly united with God, united so much to God that she actually conceived. And that's what God wants with all of us.
Is it, can we actually know if Mary is chosen to be a virgin even after Jesus died?
Jesus on the cross gives Mary to her beloved disciple John, and he says, take her into your home. And we know that from that moment on. So that shows that Mary did not have other children, because otherwise, had she had other children,
yes,
she wouldn't have needed to go to John's house. And it also shows that, yes, she did not get remarried because she went to live with John. And we believe that she lived with John until the moment of her assumption or dormition, whatever tradition we believe. So I think that that is proof that she was not married. And I think that there's also proof, sort of, that she would have been consecrated as a virgin as a little girl. That there would have been a quote-unquote order of virgins in Jewish tradition that were consecrated at the temple. And there is a tradition that says that Mary's parents, Anna and Joachim, consecrated Mary as a virgin to the temple, which is why Mary says to the angel, how can I conceive if I am a virgin? I mean, she could have said, well, yeah, I'm going to conceive because I'm going to be married, you know, in 6 months, I'll conceive. But she doesn't. She doesn't say, oh, yeah, I'll conceive because I'm going to get married. She says, how can I conceive if I'm a virgin? So even though she was betrothed to be married, she was consecrated a virgin, and she was going to remain a virgin even within that marriage to Joseph. So I think that there is substantial proof for that argument as well.
It sounds like Mary's faith is already like strong enough to technically, you know, accept all this calling.
I think so. And as a virgin. That's, we believe that she was conceived without sin, and that's obviously related to that as well. Mm-hmm. That she's conceived without sin, God has prepared her for this role. She could have said no, but I think that because she's being prepared, she was already in a place where she was so perfectly united to God, to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit actually could conceive, that she would conceive.
That's a good answer, Pedro.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, theology of the body explains that. Yeah, that's such a beautiful teaching. So virginity is not an absence of something, but rather a perfect unity. And that's the kind of marriage that God wants to have with you, Billy. God wants to marry you and fill you with his love so much so that he wants to impregnate you with his love. And Mary is a model of that. She's already lived it. Okay, there you go. People can go look at the theology of the body.
Thank you.
Yes. You're very welcome, Billy. Great question for the month of May. Billy Chan, always asking good questions. You can follow him at BJoeChan. Coming up in our second half hour, all about the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, and we catch up with singer-songwriters and married couple Nick and Nikki Garza, so stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. In 1859, a young Belgian girl, now living in Champion, Wisconsin, Adele Bryce, experienced three heavenly visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Needless to say, the site of the apparitions became a place of pilgrimage. Today, this very site is the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, the only officially approved Marian apparition in the United States. The shrine was declared by the local bishop as one of the official Jubilee pilgrimage sites for the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. To tell us more, I am now joined by the rector of the shrine, Father Anthony Stevens. Father Tony, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you very much, Deacon. It's great to be here.
So I mentioned a little bit about the shrine, but maybe you can tell us the actual story. What is the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion?
Yes, it is the site in the United States of America, just north and east of Green Bay, Wisconsin, where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a young Belgian woman who was 28 at the time. Her name was Adele Bryce, and Adele was on her way to, she was working, she was on a trail going through the woods one day, and saw a woman in white. And in that, on that particular case, Our Lady did not say anything to her, but Adele saw her very clearly. It was a woman dressed in white with a yellow sash around her waist. She appeared a second time. Adele had her sister and another friend. They were on their way to church. And it was on, I'm sorry, the second time she saw her, she was by herself. The third time, she was on her way to church. And she had the conversation. And Our Lady really gave Adele some marching orders that day, is when Our Lady actually spoke to Adele and said to her, you know, I am the Queen of Heaven. I pray for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same. And so there was a heavy emphasis for Adele throughout Adele's time, her career, if you will, vocation as a teacher, that she would really emphasize the sacraments, prayer for the conversion of sinners. Mm-hmm. And so immediately, you know, Adele's father built a little log cabin chapel. And so since 1859, there has been a veneration of the Blessed Mother here since by the local Belgian population in particular, but people from Wisconsin.
Wow. It's not a very well-known site at all. I even wonder if people in the United States are not familiar with the fact that Our Lady has appeared in the United States. Clearly, it's been officially approved as an apparition because it's a national shrine.
That's correct.
What does that mean?
The apparition site was approved as authentic as a supernatural apparition, mm-hmm. and an authentic apparition of Our Lady in 2010 by Bishop David Ricken.
Okay.
And so that's when it became it was church approved. Then it was a few years ago, I think 4 years ago, October the 9th was declared the solemnity. The local church was given permission to have the solemnity of Our Lady of Champion on October the 9th. Mm-hmm. And that was in consultation with the Vatican and declaring this as something that could be celebrated here in the diocese. But then other churches, you could have it wherever you are, could celebrate the Mass of Our Lady of Champion. Yeah. Now, for it to be a national shrine, because it's the one place in the United States where the Blessed Virgin Mary has appeared, it holds a unique distinction for the Catholic mm-hmm. Church in the United States. So that's what it makes it our national shrine. There are other bigger Marian shrines. This one is very simple. The buildings are very simple, and some of them older. But the devotion here is beautiful to see.
I can imagine.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I can imagine. And then it makes sense that this would have been defined. Is that maybe that's not the correct term, but as one of the national Jubilee pilgrimage sites, or is it a diocesan?
It's a diocesan site. Okay. Yeah. So Bishop Ricken, he chose three sites here in the Diocese of Green Bay mm-hmm. and declared it was last fall that the shrine would be one of the pilgrimage sites. Also the Cathedral of St. Francis Xavier in Green Bay. Okay. And St. Pius in Appleton were the three sites here in the Diocese of Green Bay.
So what does that mean in terms of what you're offering this year for pilgrims?
Yes. So obviously, with regards to receiving a plenary indulgence mm-hmm. and the ability and the opportunity, really, that for that spiritual grace, that special grace to come to the site, so right. you can receive that either a plenary or partial indulgence. Mm-hmm. And so you come to the shrine and just come and pray here, and those graces are available. And as soon as you step on the property, though, it is special. I'm not going to lie.
I can imagine. You mentioned, obviously people can go and to receive the indulgence. I think that some people might be interested in just making a pilgrimage,
yeah,
a spiritual pilgrimage. So what is offered? I'm sure there's mass, there's confessions. Yeah. Are there other things? Is there a museum or anything? Like, what other activities are there that people can participate in?
Yes. We have daily mass at 11 a.m. And if you check the website, there's a couple of 8:30 a.m. masses during the week. Confessions every day. And then after the 11 a.m. mass every day, we have Eucharistic exposition. So there's a chance for Eucharistic adoration for 3 hours. And so there is a heavy emphasis on, just a time for quiet prayer. Mm-hmm. And so these are the kind of the spiritual side. Something that's kind of fun, we have this little pilgrim's passport that is in concert with two other Marian shrines here in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. Mm-hmm. And Holy Hill, just north of Milwaukee. These three Marian shrines have put together this passport to encourage pilgrims to visit all three of these Marian shrines in the state of Wisconsin. And it has a little bit of history and what you can do when you come to the pilgrimage site. So just some of the things I mentioned at Champion, mm-hmm. Eucharistic adoration, to go down to the apparition oratory, light a candle, walk on the rosary walk, and visit our history center to learn about the fire, the Peshtigo fire in 1871. And I'll say a little more about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But then there's a spot, though, on this pilgrim passport where it's like an actual passport. You can have it stamped. So all three of the shrines have a little stamp, just like if you went through customs going into your home country. And the parents like it. The kids love it.
Of course.
The kids love it.
Fun. Yeah, it's like getting a little golden star. Tell us about the fire, because I was thinking about the fire earlier when you were mentioning about the apparition. So what's the story with the fire?
Yeah. So because this had been a place of pilgrimage since 1859, Adele's father had built a log cabin here. People would come here and pray. And there was always a chapel And the Belgians, among others, were famous for their little roadside chapels. And so they had these little chapels there. People would come here to pray. And the locals had no doubt that Our Lady appeared. There were some naysayers, but they came here and it was always a place of refuge. Well, there was a terrible drought in 1871 through the spring and summer into the fall. And some when the winds kicked up with all of the dry underbrush, it started, it burned millions of acres. It started a fire and burned millions of acres, killed between 1,500 and 2,000 people. I mean, they no telling how many livestock, how many animals died, how many animals, wildlife died. There was no place to go because there was fire everywhere. And so many people, Adele and her family included, came to the shrine where the chapel was, and they just prayed that night from October 8 into October 9. They walked in circles just around the perimeter of the property, asking Our Lady to protect them. And providentially, the fire burned around them. It burned right up to the fence and the edge of the property. And in the morning, the rains came and it put out the fires. So everybody has seen that as the miracle of the fire, that Our Lady, you know, she interceded on behalf of those people who came here to pray. So that was 1871. And they said, one writer said it was like the spot of the shrine was like an emerald isle in a sea of black.
Oh, wow. Wow. Clearly, there's a cause for the canonization of Adele Bryce. Is that correct? Can you give us a little, in the little time that we have left, can you give us a quick update?
Yes. So last summer in June, the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops voted unanimously for Bishop Ricken to begin the investigation for Adele's cause. Mm-hmm. So that is in process. The diocese has been in touch with theologians to evaluate her life. And we're waiting right now on some things to come back from Rome to open the official cause. So it is on the way. And we think she's a saint, you know, but we have to let the church speak.
Of course, of course. But in the meantime, it doesn't mean that people cannot go visit. And so we're going to encourage all our listeners to take a little trip. You might think that the Jubilee pilgrimage is to Rome, but you can make a Jubilee pilgrimage right here in the Midwest, in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
In the United States. Father Tony, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about this beautiful story that I knew very little of, and I'm sure a lot of people hadn't even heard of this very the only apparition, Marian apparition in the United States in Wisconsin, Our Lady of Champion.
Correct. Yes. Thank you, Deacon.
Yeah. Thank you. And great to meet you. And thank you. And hopefully maybe I'll get to visit one day and we can meet in person.
I hope you can lead a pilgrimage here. That would be awesome.
That would be wonderful. Oh, good idea. Okay. Yeah. We'll start planning that. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Take care.
Father Tony Stevens is the rector of the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. You can learn more about the shrine at championshrine.org. Here now are Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, Saints of God.
Saints of God, come to His aid. Come to meet Him, angels of the Lord. Receive His soul and present Him to God, to God Most High, to God Most High. May Christ who called you take you to May angels lead you to Abraham's side. Receive His soul and present Him to God Most High, to God Most High. Give Him eternal rest, O Lord, and may Your light
That was Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, Saints of God. Nick and Nikki Garza are a married couple from Phoenix, Arizona, who began writing music for their parish, where they were music ministers. The songwriting has now become a ministry, and they have several recordings to show for it. As parents of five children, they don't have a lot of free time, but what they have is devoted to this ministry, and recently they've released several new singles, some which we've been listening to, and so it's a good excuse to reconnect with them. Nick and Nikki, welcome back, you guys, to the Salt and Light Hour. It's so good to see you.
Thank you for having
it's
us.
It's great to see you.
Yeah. You guys are always so happy and fun, and and I don't know how you do it because you have like 17 children.
We have five kids,
three dogs.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. The dogs are fun. So five kids, ages five. Your oldest is now like almost done high school. No,
she just turned 17. Yeah.
Yeah.
17.
Wow. And I remember last time you were telling me, last time, which was like, I think like 4 years ago, I don't know when was the last time we spoke, but that some of them were getting the music bug. Are they getting more musically involved with you guys?
Yes. So our 17-year-old plays guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And she sings mass.
Yeah. Okay. She sang the psalm yesterday. We were proud of her.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And then our 13-year-old son plays piano and takes piano lessons. And then our 9-year-old takes piano lessons as well. And he plays drums.
Yeah.
So, they love it. It's really cute. And Oscar, our 9-year-old, he is just like practicing all the
non-stop
time.
Stop. Yeah. You have to tell him to go play outside. Go play some video games.
Yeah.
But the 13-year-old and the 9-year-old are not playing at mass with you guys, or do they sometimes?
Not yet.
Okay. I think our 9-year-old is about a year away from being able to play drums at mass.
Okay.
And then I'm hoping like a year from now, everybody's doing something. They're singing, playing bass, playing drums.
You need a bass player.
We do.
Yeah.
You need to start teaching bass to somebody, and then you got the whole band. Would that not be weird? I guess they're happy to participate in this thing that their parents do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say so. Yeah. They're all musical. They're all singing around the house. And so
Our 5-year-old. Well, and 7-year-old, they just sing around the house, make up their songs.
Yeah, probably too much noise all the time. Nikki, like, oh, stop making noise. And are you guys, I mean, you're obviously still married and you still like each other. So how's the collaboration, the songwriting between the two of you coming? I mean, you're bumping out new songs. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we had a conversation, like this is a long time ago, but we didn't realize it. So I wrote it right here. So I think the last time we talked to you was maybe 2022, I think,
Yeah, it's possible.
Anyway, so in 2020, I think is the first time, or 2021 maybe, was the first time we hooked up with you.
Yeah.
And so we released six songs in 2020, right? And that's like when we were getting going.
Yeah.
And then 2021, we released five songs.
Yeah.
And then 2022, we released two songs. Okay. See where this is going? And then 2023, we released one song. And then 2024, we worked really hard and we released nothing. And but it doesn't mean we weren't writing and like trying to get things going. It's just we had five kids.
Yeah.
Just so much stuff.
It's not ideal.
And we're doing it, we're producing it ourselves. But all of that, now we have hopefully a bunch of songs just coming out one after another. And we're trying to make like a grand plan to maybe put together like an album, but we thought maybe we should just start getting stuff out there. And so that's why in the last month and a half, we just released three songs in a row and we have a few more now in the docket in the next 2 months.
So when there's obviously like nobody's complaining here that you guys, you know, didn't release any songs in 2024. you have five kids and three dogs, but when you're writing, like, does that still come? I know that you're obviously very involved in doing music for liturgy. Do you still find that you're writing because there's a need for liturgy, or because it comes out of prayer, or maybe now the kids are participating in that? Tell us a little bit about how the songwriting has changed over the last couple of years.
I mean, I think it's been mostly for liturgy. But it's all of the above. It's for as far as actually releasing stuff and getting it done.
Yeah.
That's been the hurdle.
Yeah.
But like all the stuff is there, and like, you know, in a perfect world, if we had $1 million, we have Psalms for every Sunday for all three cycles. And so like that's something we want to put out. We have a mass sitting. That's something we want to put out. So mm-hmm. it's just getting the hurdles of, you know,
of course,
being parents and having the kids and the dogs are a lot.
Well, no,
we were working on these songs for a long time, and a lot of them we had started, I don't know, 2020, 2021, where mm-hmm. we'd have like an idea and then kind of wait and then finish it as it goes by. And a lot of times we would hear readings at mass and be like, oh my gosh, that's what we wrote that song off, you know, based off that reading and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So it's a lot of them we had to revisit and then go back and then finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So then these songs, I guess, what I was going to ask was, do you find that the songs are just kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but all over the place in terms of themes, like whatever moves you at that moment? Or do you find that you have gone through seasons where there's a lot of songs about, I don't know, saints, or a lot of songs about God's love, or a lot of songs about merit, you know, like are there themes? Do you find that there are themes arising as you write?
Well, the most recent couple songs were like Lenten type songs.
Yeah.
So a little sadder, a little more about remembrance. And,
yeah, we remember. Yeah, the songs that we heard, Take Up Your Cross, and we're going to end the show with We Remember.
Yeah. And then The Saints of God was just something we were going to wait to release that with our mass setting, but we just loved it, how it came out.
And we
kind of tested it with non-Catholic, non-religious people just to see what they would say. And they were like, wow, this is great. We love it. And so we're like, oh, maybe we should release this. And so it was very interesting because it's the song of farewell during funerals.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how it's touching people. And technically it's our most popular song right now, which is so funny to us.
We just didn't know.
We're like, oh, let's put it up because, you know, we're doing it at mass and we have some music director friends just like around the country who are doing it too, for funerals. And we're like, oh, we should just put it out then. And then, you know, some music directors have been writing us. You guys, you have sheet music?
Cool. That's,
music for
them? Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. And what a great ministry. I'm assuming that you get to play a lot of funerals, do you?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot.
Yeah. No, but that's a very important ministry right there. And, and how meaningful it is to have good music for a funeral. Yeah. I'll make sure I'll include your song at my funeral. I'll put it on in my will. and the Lenten ones, was it just because you were kind of having that Lenten experience yourselves, or did you set out to write specifically Lenten songs because you needed those for mass?
Both. Okay. Yeah, both. It's like with every Lent, we try to get a little deeper, and we really wanted to write something just from us in regards to the whole Lenten experience, hence that Take Up Your Cross song and then the We Remember song. So that's where those stem from. And we actually wrote those before last Lent.
Yeah.
But it was too late to, you know, get them recorded,
to get them, get them done out before Lent. Yeah.
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 So,
yeah.
We wrote the refrains first, and those just kind of came real easy. And then we kind of sat on them for a while and then revisited them last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you finding that, and I'm thinking particularly your oldest, the 17-year-old, is she maybe even trying some songwriting as well?
She is. That is like something that we're trying to dig more into. So she I just found out recently she has like this little notepad book filled with song ideas and writing. She's been writing. Great. So like I'm like, all right, let's get in the studio with daddy, you know, let's start working on this stuff.
Maybe we'll just have to feature her without you guys
in
this program.
Yeah,
I should love it.
That's wonderful. What a great witness to honestly, to family. You know, and not that I don't think of you guys as singer-songwriters, but I do think of you guys as this family. And that's your focus and that's what you're doing, and you're doing it really well. And on top of that, you're able to do this other thing, music ministry, that is also done very well. So that's clearly lots of blessings in your lives.
Thank you. And they're good song testers for us too, because we hear them like singing songs around the house all the time. Yeah. But then we'll hear them singing a song, and I'll look at Nikki and be like,
"Okay, that's funny. Song. That's funny."
You know, and then and like they'll be singing it in the shower or just walking around the house.
That's good to know.
It's catchy if you're singing it in the shower.
Yeah.
And if they change the words, you're like, maybe we shouldn't change the words. Those words make more sense. Okay, Nick and Nikki Garza, I'm so excited that you guys have more music, and I'm excited that you have more music coming down the pipes so that we don't have to wait another 4 years before we have you back on the show. And maybe one of those recordings will include your daughter. And that'll be another opportunity to have something else to talk about. So it's been really good reconnecting. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for the songs that you're sharing with us today as well.
Thank you.
So good to see you.
Yes, you too. You can find out more about Nick and Nikki Garza at their website, nickandnikkigarza.com. And it's Nick, N-I-C-K. And Nikki is N-I-K-K-I. N-I-K-K-I Garza, G-A-R-Z-A, nickandnikkigarza.com. I'm going to put that link on our site so you can find it easily. Just go to slmedia.org. But you can also just Google them, Nick and Nikki Garza, and you can find them on Spotify, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. If you missed any part of our conversation or you want to listen to it again, just head on to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. Here now are Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, We Remember.
My God, for real, you answer me. You give me grace for who I can be.
Listening to Nick and Nikki Garza with their new single, We Remember, and that will take us to the end of the program today. Make sure that you download the Salt and Light Plus app so you can watch all our programs, our videos, our TV series, documentaries, and listen to the Salt and Light Hour podcast on demand. You can also subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour wherever you get your podcasts, or you can listen to the show at our website, slmedia.org/podcast. Today, let's continue to pray for peace in the world, especially for peace in Nigeria and all places where there is religious persecution. Let's pray for our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. May the Holy Spirit bless him with wisdom and strength to fulfill his mission as shepherd of our church. Let's pray that we are all open to saying yes to the Holy Spirit, just like Mary did. And of course, don't forget to pray for each other and take care of each other. Thank you for being with us. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.